Thank you for joining me. This is the Bold Lines podcast, and I am your host, Travis Thompson. Today, we're going to be talking about a nation of insecure identity. I'm going to head off some of the major concerns that people might have just hearing the title of this episode. Is this going to be a political rant? No. Is this going to be something that can be used as a bludgeon against other people? I hope not. However, this is something that I have at least noticed, both in my therapy office and in culture at large. So for anyone who is concerned about this being an overtly negative or aggressive thing, I hope that you give me the benefit of the doubt here and hear out what I have to say. So let's get into one of the biggest issues of today's world, and that is identity. Who is it that we are? Who gets to decide? How much do we get to tell others about our identity? Now, this is certainly seen in large realms and small realms. Let me start with the therapy office to give some context. In my therapy office, it's really interesting to talk about identity. Initially, people say that their identity is something religious or spiritual or sexual preference. Here's the thing, though. I think that identity goes further than that. How do I know? Well, in the process of therapy, it's important to not only support and give insight, but to also challenge, not in the aggressive sense or the holier-than-thou sense, but in the process of learning who you are and how you function, you should be given a little bit of feedback and challenging. If you cannot support and defend your identity with a therapist who is supposed to be a third party to your whole growth endeavor, how do you expect to uphold it outside of the office? Let's talk about some of the identities outside of the obvious first in therapy. When I challenge people on who they are and what they do, typically some of the sticking points tend to be around parenting and being a good spouse or partner. Now, this isn't always immediately apparent, but give me a second and it becomes really obvious. When I ask someone about their mental health or their behavior, one of the comments that I get back is, "Do you not think I'm a good father?" Okay, now wait a minute. That is an identity. I was being curious about your anger, your drinking patterns, your desire for disconnection. I haven't said anything specifically about you as a parent. Why is that something that's popped up? A lot of times people will also try to convince me that they were a great spouse, that they've been a great partner. Here's the thing. I don't think that if you are defending your identity or if you're challenging your therapist on your identity, I don't think you actually believe that identity all that much. If you're having to defend it against someone who wants to help you, you might be deeply insecure or unsure of that identity yourself. So when I ask someone how their patterns of behavior have affected the people around them, and they get defensive, chances are it has very little to do with the objective questions that I'm asking and much more to do with people's insecurity around how they've affected others. And so they will defend that they were a great parent or they were a wonderful spouse. When in reality, it's a refusal to look deeper into who they are. And they cover up this sense of insecurity with aggression or in a fawning sense to be really small so that I, as their therapist, won't push them on it. The thing is if I don't, I cripple their ability to solidify their identity. If someone challenges my understanding of them as a parent, I get rather curious. Why are you so mad at me? about my view of you as a parent. Do you not think you were a good parent? Then usually clients will come back and say, well, yes, 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 I was a great parent. Are you sure? Because why are you so upset? If you really believed it, if you really believed that this identity was true, that you were a good parent, you were a good spouse, then it shouldn't be shaken so easily. If you really solidified your identity as a quote-unquote good person, whatever that is, then why on earth would somebody be able to shake your confidence and your sense of self with a simple question? And so it's these deep insecurities that are covered up by a reinforcement of self-identity. And these things are very, very important to look at in therapy. And quite honestly, it's one of the reasons that I think that therapy in some places and with some practitioners has started to become ineffective. Because instead of challenging someone's identity in a healthy way, we simply acquiesce or give in to whatever a client says because we should affirm whoever they are. Were they really a good parent? Yes, of course. You made great decisions and you did the best that you could. I'm sorry, but sometimes that's a load of garbage. Sometimes you were an awful father. Sometimes you were a terrible wife. Does that make you a bad person? I don't know. That's what we're here to explore, of what that even means for you. But I wouldn't be doing you any good unless I offended you once in a while. That might sound interesting coming from a therapist. Shouldn't a therapist just sit here and tell you that you're wonderful and there's nothing wrong with you and it's everybody else's fault? I hope not. I refuse to do it. What good does it do to not challenge someone and who they are and their identity? Because without any challenging and support, identity remains flimsy and not really able to be supported. Instead of having a solid explanation for who you are and the type of person you were, you just flail like a child. And me as a therapist is supposed to tell you that that's okay? And now, look, I get it. As a therapist, you're going to care about my point of view. And I obviously want to be mindful and respectful of that. But in no way am I just going to step back and see your insecurity and make you feel better about your insecurity instead of challenging it and working through it. So now I've successfully, or maybe only somewhat successfully, set up where this idea is coming from. That even in my own practice, this whole thing of identity is something that very little therapists actually challenge, and I think it cripples a lot of people. So let's take this into the larger realm, as that seems to be the whole direction of this podcast, is the marriage between therapy and popular culture and finding something useful in both. I will tell you, in popular culture, I'm really getting kind of exhausted with identity conversations. And what I will say is, what comes next isn't an indictment. It's not hate, but it's simply an observation. Here's the thing. It's my podcast. I get to say whatever I want. I get to pay for the publishing, so I'm just going to say what's coming to mind. And if you agree with me, great. If not, I might get an angry email, and that's fine. I can deal with angry emails, and hey, it might even make it into a podcast episode. All right, so let's look at identity in popular culture. It's become something that has been, I think, completely overblown. Identity in itself can be either objectively understood or self-assumed. Here's the thing. As I stand here today, I have a skin color. But what skin color is it? Some people would say white, but after some time in the sun in the summer, I don't really look white. And I don't know how many people who are white actually look white. It's something we've culturally assigned. So is that an innate identity or is that a cultural understanding? Let's look at some other things, though. My eyes are blue. That's an objective fact. As much as we understand the light spectrum, We've identified a range that we consider blue. Congrats, my eyes are blue. But let's take something a little more complicated and a little more touchy. Sexual identity has become one of the biggest things of today's discussion, as well as racial identity. Let's start with racial identity, because that's somewhat less charged than the sexual one. Again, I'm laughing because all of this is going to get me in hot water somewhere, and I frankly don't care. So let's look at racial identity. I'll go back to one of the things that I said before, that if you have to convince someone of a certain identity to a large and vehement degree, you may not actually believe what you're saying. Now, can someone be a certain race? White, Black, Hispanic, Asian? Yes. But if you have to parade that around, you probably don't believe in the impact that that identity actually is. If someone walks around and says, well, I'm Asian and that's my identity. Okay, why do you need to tell me about it? Why is it a big deal? Do you need something from me? Do you really need the affirmation of strangers? What does that do for you other than fill out a certain demographic in US census data? Are there cultural impacts? Of course there are. If your identity is something you have to argue about everywhere you go, you might believe that identity, but you don't believe your place in the world relative to that identity. Because if you did, it would simply be an aspect of who you are instead of a character trait that you have to argue with everyone around you. So congrats, people have different skin colors, and that is actually 100% socially constructed. Talk with a friend of mine about this who majored in anthropology, and he even tells me about how in different cultures and in different countries around the world, skin colors mean completely different things. And some people can even be a completely different race depending on where they're at. I do believe that race is socially constructed, and that identity can be kind of odd to argue, considering if you were to move 5,000 miles in a certain direction, it completely changes. But let's go to the sexual one. This is the point of identity that people tend to be outrageously angry about. And again, what I said before, if you have to argue with people about your identity, you have to do it publicly, and it isn't a simple conversation, you probably don't actually believe it. This is incredibly important when it comes to things like gender identity. Do you really need to argue with everyone who says something wrong about you or something you perceive is wrong? If so, you probably put way too much weight or you don't actually believe it. This is seen most evidently in viral videos. And again, I know that those are fringe cases, but when you see the videos of someone correcting gender identity in someone and doing so angrily, may they have a weak moment? Sure. But if you need the affirmation of strangers to reinforce who you are, you don't actually believe it. You just want other people to believe it, so you start to believe it yourself. I think this is a core of what a lot of people struggle with and where we've started to get these absurdly wild treatment programs. We've taken a shaky and shoddy identity and turned it into surgical procedures. That you don't believe the identity enough, so you have to have surgery. If you really believed it, why would you need anything at all? Let's say that you identified as a specific gender. Shouldn't need surgery. Shouldn't need any kind of hormone things, because if you believe it, isn't that what matters? Why can't it just be, if that's your identity, it is what it is? Why does everyone else need to affirm it? If everyone else has to affirm it, you don't believe it. If you have to present a certain way and you need people to accept you, chances are there's more going on than just what that is. Much like I talk about in therapy, where I say, well, do you really believe that you're a good dad? Do you really believe that you're a good wife? You know, those pains go deeper. When somebody argues with me about being a good dad, does it just connect to their current behavior? No, probably connects to their childhood. Maybe they saw a good dad but felt incomplete themselves and felt like there was a standard they could never live up to. Or maybe they had a horrible father figure and wanted to try to do things different but feel a failure in what they're able to do now. So am I arguing with someone about their current role as a father or from years of pain? I think it's much the same in the modern culture and lexicon. Do you really need me to argue with you about your identity? If so, you probably don't believe it, but even deeper, there's probably a reason. And again, this is out of vogue to say, and again, I really don't care, it's my podcast. A lot of times for people that struggle with identity, there are other factors at play. One of the most common ones when it comes to people identifying as transgender is autism. For those that are unaware, particularly in women with autism, they have a higher likelihood to identify as transgender than the general population. Is that because people with autism are especially screwed up? No. But a factor of autism, particularly in women, is a discomfort in their body. That's something we've seen way before being trans was a thing. Well, if that's an issue, along with an inability to openly and seamlessly create social connection, or a difficulty to do that, as is present with autism, it can make a whole lot of sense to identify these things that you feel are deficient or wrong and find an obvious solution. This is also a big issue in terms of identity, is if you have a whole bunch of people who have a shaky identity, then they sort of have a collective identity in that. And so you can get affirmation, not just from strangers on the street, but from people on the internet. And I will tell you right now, those people aren't your friends. If you're getting a sense of identity from people online or people sort of in the community, they don't actually care about you. They just want to find support so they reinforce something in themselves. And that might be hard to hear, but a lot of people that I have worked with and a lot of people that I see in terms of sexual or gender identity, they rely on these outside sources that don't actually care about them and aren't actually intimately involved in their lives. And people can create these whole identities off of these false relationships, these ones that don't actually mean anything at all. So if you felt like I'm swinging around a sword and just hacking everything down, let me give you some of the solution, at least in my mind, or a little bit of direction on what to do with this. First, sit down and think about what you identify as. If a random stranger were to come up and tell you, that's not who you are, would you get upset or would you just kind of get confused? I would argue that if I felt like I was a good father and someone walked up to me in a Chili's and said, wow, you are a terrible father, I would kind of wonder where they came from and what in the world is going on. I wouldn't get angry. I'd just go, who are you? And can I help you with something, or can I go back to eating? But if I had that sense of insecurity, I might argue with the guy. So take a second to think about, how would you react to a stranger? How would you react to a friend? Someone who is somewhat involved in your life. Using myself again, what if a friend came up to me and said, yeah, I don't know how well you're doing as a father. I would probably take a little bit of a self-examination and wonder what's going on. I would probably even ask, why would you say that? Like, what's going through your head? Now, if someone really close to me, like maybe a really close family member or a best friend said, hey, you might want to check on this and being a father, I would hopefully not get overtly offended. I would hopefully step back and be curious and highly self-critical in a positive way and say, wait a minute, is there something I'm missing? These identities that we take on, some of them are built into us. I have blue eyes. It can't be argued. I mean, if you really want to argue social construction, you can do that in circles and end up nowhere. But deeper things like gender and biology, you can deny it all you want, but it's still there. We can sit here and argue all day about identity and how people see themselves, but if we go back and look at objective reality and we point that out and someone feels overtly upset, disconnected, or angry, they probably don't believe it. In fact, if they really did believe it and we told them they were wrong, they probably wouldn't care. If someone came to me and said, I identify as this, and I go, well, that's weird, I don't believe that. If they were really secure, they'd go, cool, have a good day. And I do believe that there are some people like that. And whether that's a good thing or healthy or not is an entirely different discussion. But in terms of absorbing and truly believing your identity, that's how we should handle things. I think we should also see this through things like faith, spirituality, our job, and our place in the world around us. So for anybody who's gotten actually to the end of this episode without sending me an angry email or arguing with me, maybe you're curious about your identity, or maybe you do feel solidified. If you've gotten to the end of this episode and you're furious, that might be a good thing. You might need to take a second and step back and see if you really do believe the things that you say are true about you. Because if some random guy on a podcast can put a 20 to 30 minute episode out and it's ruined your whole day, that identity was shaky from the start. If through this podcast you've questioned yourself as a father, as a kid, as a sibling, as a spouse, you might need to examine whether you're being overtly self-critical or there's something that you've intentionally neglected. Take the time and review the things that you believe about yourself. See how they compare to other people and ask, do you really believe it? Because that cognitive dissonance, that inability to make the connection between two ideas, if it exists, you should look at it. But don't expect everyone around you to solve it, because if you do, it will never get solved. Thank you for listening today. I hope you got something that was useful for you. As emotionally charged as this episode certainly could be, I would encourage you to look at it in yourself, maybe share it with other people. If you feel like they could use some support for themselves, if you feel the need, you can leave a tip for the podcast so I can help pay for production. But ultimately, I hope you subscribe to the podcast and listen in each week for the next episode.